In Ephesians chapter 5, we'll continue on here, and the transition having been made in this epistle to the church at Ephesus, I remind you about those things written to this church in the book of the Revelation, in chapter 2 and chapter 3 there, where the seven churches of Asia Minor are addressed. And I encourage you that, read that. When you read the book of Ephesians, read about the accounts in Acts about the book of the church at Ephesus, and also read about what the Lord said directly to that church. It is this church, and there's much that we can learn in that. The transition having gone from church issues and church doctrinal things to individual things, that transition being made here in the fourth chapter, and the apostle continues on with that. Last time we left off in verse number 11, where the scripture says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." The chapter starts off with verse 1 saying, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And so the Lord desires us and has in plan and has in his design and working that we, having been saved, to follow him as our heavenly Father, as dear children. Verse 2 says, "Walk in love," and here's the target, here's the goal, "as Christ also hath loved us." And go ahead and sit down and start defining Christ's love for us. It is wide and great, is it not? He gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So we are to love the Lord as he has loved us, and he gave fully of himself for us. We should well give of ourselves. Verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And we talked about how there in John chapter 3, the light manifests sin. It manifests and reproves sin, sometimes only by our stand in our way, the conversation of our life, you know, what we think, what we do, what we say, that is enough. The way we carry ourselves, that is enough to be a reproof and a rebuke to others around us. It can have that effect. Sometimes it does us well to speak up. I met a man this past week, and he wanted to talk about something that he was selling, and so we got past that, and I asked him about the Lord, and he told that he was a man that believed in his own righteousness, do good, think good thoughts, and everything will work out and be just right. I told him about how the Lord saved me and how the Lord visited me in 1987 and showed me that I was a sinner that needed saving, and shortly after that, he didn't want to talk anymore. Now, I'm sad that that's the case, but he was offended by what I was addressing him with. I wasn't doing it and trying not to do it in a way that would be offensive to him, but he would bring up a thing and bring the Word of God back to him about what the Scripture says. You know, he says, "Well, we just need to be good and think good thoughts and not think bad thoughts. And because when we think bad thoughts, we'll do bad things. But if we think good thoughts, we'll do good things." I said, "Well, the Scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one." But he didn't want to hear. You know, he didn't want to hear that, but he needed to hear it. And so sometimes we got to stand up and we got to speak. But may the Lord help us that we do it and manifest when we speak, that we do it with the fruit of the Spirit. I sought to not condemn the man, but I sought that the man might be helped with the truth, because he was a man that obviously was in his 60s or even older. He's getting closer to this life for him being done and going into that life to come. And so we need to be understanding of that. Don't fellowship with these unfruitful works of darkness, but be a reproof to them. And there's a range in which we can do so. It is a shame even to speak of those things, verse 12, which are done to them in secret. And so the nastiness of men, Romans chapter 1 tells us about the end of idolatry and paganism, that it'll end up in just terrible, wicked, abominable sin. And so we need to realize that and know that that's the case. It's going to talk to us here in a bit about sobriety and our sobriety and understanding things that are going on, not that we know the detail of it, but that we be aware. Some people look at life and look at this world with rose-colored glasses, don't they? Well, it's not really that bad. Well, when we get down to look at things the way God looks at them, it's terrible. It is just wicked and terrible. Now, should that cause us to put on the face of doom and gloom? No, being the children of God, we're rejoicing in being with the Lord one day, amen? And we rejoice in that we have help to where this world would not get us down with the Lord's help and the Lord's work in us. Verse 13, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." It is light, the light of God in us, that shows up the truth, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know, we're to be salt and light to this world. And the Scripture says, if the salt ain't salty, all right, if the salt is not salty, it's good for nothing. So in our conversation, in your conversation, are you salty? Do you bring a savor and an understanding of the truth? Okay? Not necessarily. If the truth is abrasive, then so be it. May the Lord help us that we not be abrasive, right? Jim Duke, the man, the person, Jim Duke. I don't need to be abrasive, but because I need to manifest that which is right and godly and the fruit of the Spirit. But if the truth is abrasive, then so be it. It's the way that it is. It's the way, it is the truth by which sinners can be saved and the people of God can be steered to the right path to walk the narrow way with the Lord. Amen? That's the way that it is. That's what God has done. And as His children, we are representative as such. Verse 14, wherefore He saith. So because of that, He says, wake up, awake thou that sleepest. And rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, who's He talking to? Well, if a child of God has just kind of become complacent in their life and their witness for the Lord and their service of the Lord, wake up! Wake up! Because you only got so much time. It's about this much, a hand breath, a vapor. Some of you had some coffee this afternoon, and when it's piping hot, I wish it tasted as good as it smelled. But you see that vapor coming off there, and it doesn't last very long, does it? That's our life. Child of God, wake up. You got only so much time to serve the Lord. Amen. Be about what you know. But Brother Jim, I don't know what to do. Okay, well, let's get with what you know to do. And do that. And do that faithfully. And then the Lord will open up more for you to do. Be willing to give of yourself. Those that are older in our church will tell you that it's harder to do things in the service of the Lord because your body just won't cooperate. It's not a matter of want to. The old body just won't move. It won't get you there. It won't make it happen. So serve the Lord in our youth while we can move around for the Lord. Amen? We need to do that and put it to it. We're so tempted to say another day I'll do this. I know that. I'm like president of the procrastinator club. All right. You're going to have to put a good effort in to take the presidency from me because I'm Mr. Procrastination. But we don't need to do that. We need to go on and move. We got it before us. Do it. Put your hand to it. Be searching about what you can do. And may the Lord help us to see what we can do in His service and in the church. I need it too. It says, and take a look over here in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Here, the apostle dealing with this church, the church in Thessalonica there in Greece, he says, therefore let us not sleep. We're not in darkness. Don't be taken by the return of the Lord unawares. We're children of the light, walk in the light. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We need to be on the lookout for the return of the Lord. We need to be on the lookout for how we can be a witness for the Lord and use the time that the Lord has given us. In regard to what it says here in Ephesians 5:14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We, as our saved, need to tell others about the Savior, and we need to walk well with our Savior. But you that are here and not saved, you need to wake up. Because death is coming and hell is moving and you are on your way there. And you may think you're young and you got all the life in front of you, but you don't know that. You don't have a clue. And don't buy off into the world telling you that that religion and this way of Jesus and the way of the church, this old fogey stuff, is just for weak men and women and children, and you just don't need. Don't buy off into that lie, because this is what God loves. This is what Jesus has instituted, and you need to hear the message. And you need to repent, believe, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, or your soul will be damned eternally forever in the lake of fire in hell. And they're in hell in the lake of fire. It will be, it's that way. Don't be deluded by the lie of the world and the lie of Satan and the lie of your own flesh. Hear what the Lord says. Wake up. Wake up. And we pray that the Lord will give you light and that you might see. He says, awake, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If we stay with those things that are natural to us as a lost, undone sinner, or even as a child of God listening to the flesh, those things and the way of the world, those things do nothing but take us toward death. Sin does nothing but kills us, brings us down. We need to wake up and we need to see the light of the Lord. Verse 15, see then, as children, see then that ye walk circumspectly, diligently, perfectly, maturely, exactly. If you're walking a tightrope, pardon me, if you're walking a tightrope, don't you want to walk circumspectly? Yeah, you do. If you're walking on a tightrope, you want to make sure you stay on top of the tightrope, don't you? You better walk circumspectly. We better walk where we are to walk. The way is narrow. We're on a way that doesn't lead to destruction. Amen? Amen. Right. It's the broad way. The broad way leads to destruction. You can go on the broad way rolling on your side down the Broadway and nobody cares. You can lay down on the Broadway. You can kick up your feet on the Broadway. You can tap dance on the Broadway. It doesn't matter. The Broadway takes you to hell. We that are saved, we're on the narrow way. Narrow way with Christ. And you know what? We're either making progress or we're not. We're never standing still. On the narrow way, you never stand. You're going back. We're going backwards or we're going forwards. You don't get stagnant. You're going one way or the other. We are going one way or the other. And we need to recognize that. See then that you walk circumspectly, diligently, not as a fool, not as fools, but as wise. As wise. What was it the apostle said to the Galatians? Oh, foolish Galatians. They were walking foolishly, weren't they? And thinking that they could take something as circumcision and add it to the gospel and make the gospel more effective or more workable or more powerful in salvation. The apostle called and said, oh, foolish Galatians. What is it if the Lord would speak to us? What would he say to us at Olmsted Baptist Church? What would he say to us? Would he say anything to us in that we would be found foolish before him? May God help us. We don't need to be in that shape. And may God help us that if we are, that we see it and we turn from it. He said, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Back to that life that we've got, that time that we have. Redeem it. What's it mean to redeem the time? You know what you've got in your life? The most precious commodity that we have in our life is that of time. We take our time and we trade it for money, don't we? We take our time and we entertain ourselves. We take our time and we serve the Lord. We take our time and we worship the Lord and we honor Him. We take our time and we blow it on nothing. Amen? So we need to walk circumspectly, not being foolish or empty-headed, but be wise in the Word of the Lord and what He says. And take that time and trade it in for treasure and in heaven. Amen? Lay that treasure up. Build with wood, or build with gold, silver, and precious stones, and not with wood, hay, and stubble. Don't trade your time in. May God help us that we not trade our time in for wood, hay, and stubble. What a terrible waste of life, isn't it? What a terrible waste of life. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Oh, it's going to be pulling us. You need to enjoy yourself. You need to do this. You don't need to do that because you deserve it. Now, I don't deserve a lick. I don't deserve anything. But praise God, He's been merciful. Amen. He's been merciful to us. And so may the Lord help us to see this. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, He says, walk as wise in verse 15. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How can we know the will of the Lord? I remember a time in my life when I was a kid, and I heard much conversation about the near impossibility of knowing what the will of God was. Isn't that terrible? I mean, that was as a child, that was somewhat depressing to me. You mean you can't know what the will of the Lord is? Yeah, we can know what the will of the Lord is. There's basic things right here in this book that tell us what the will of the Lord is.
Amen.
And you know where it starts? Right there in your life. Right there at home. And as you go from home out to wherever you go. As a child of God in His church, it's very much found there. After your family, it's found in the church. You know, the will of the Lord there. You know, the will of the Lord very simply is that you as a member of His church be here when we meet together. That's a very simple thing. That you support the Word, the work with prayer and with yourself. Yeah, oh, yeah, and your money too, sure. But the money isn't first. The Lord will take your money and use it. But you know what He wants first? He wants you. He expects you and me. It's our reasonable service to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We need to be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Some great calamity or crisis you're faced with, or some unexpected things? We've had many of those, haven't we? What do we need to do? We need to keep doing what we know to do. We may not know necessarily right now what to do about this, but may God help me not to give up on what He has given that I know to do. You know, we're prone to it, aren't we? We are. And the Lord knows that, and that's the reason He gives us instruction about it. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And He goes here and says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with other spirits. In being out of control of your body, being out of control of your senses, will lead you to nothing but excess. He's not talking about the wine. He's talking about drunkenness. Drunkenness leads to excess. When we're out of control and we're inebriated, if you will, we've lost senses and another spirit. I mean, it's rightly so that drink is called spirits. I mean, they've been called that way, called that for centuries. The reason it is it because it takes us in being inebriated, being drunken, we lose control of our faculties and our senses. The book of Proverbs tells that the man that is drunken beholds strange things. Things that he shouldn't consider and shouldn't even go into, but in a drunken stupor, will pursue right after. And it leads to nothing but excess, wickedness, and sin. He says, don't be filled with that that will lead you to excess. And he's talking about being filled up with it. In and of itself, wine, there's nothing wrong with wine. It's what God has made. It's a natural process that the Lord has provided in this world. In the Garden of Eden, if they'd have taken grapes and run them through the wine fat and processed them and bottled it up, it would have turned into wine. It's something that God created. It's not evil in and of itself. But the abuse of it, it's akin to this. Is the intimacy between a man and a woman that God created in marriage, is there anything wrong with that? God created it. He created it before sin, did He not? Do men abuse it? They do. They do. And so, we've got to understand those things. Look at Romans 14:14. He talks here about contentions and one that is weak in the faith about things, and he says here in verse number 14, I'm just going to pick this. Well, let's back up to verse number 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, we would never, the apostle is not saying to take anything that is out of the scripture and that is right and to refrain from that to avoid offending our brother, because the truth is the truth, and the truth will always help us out. Sometimes it's the truth that reproves us or rebukes us, right? It's by the administering and the delivering of the truth that we're persuaded that that is the truth, and we change our ways. We change our thinking. But if there's a thing that is not necessary or that is not required, don't pursue a thing if it's a hurt to your brother. Look what it says in verse number 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. That's what the apostle says. That there is nothing unclean of itself. Is there anything wrong with paper? Is there anything wrong with paper? No. But men take paper and smoke things that are wicked and evil in the misuse of it. God made hemp, did he not? Satan didn't sow hemp. Right? And God made it so we could have a way to make rope. Because where would our country be without rope? Now, there's a lot that we couldn't have done. Amen? I mean, all through centuries. But then man has taken hemp and abused it and taken paper, which is good, and hemp, which is good by the purpose of ordained of God. I would venture that you could take hemp and take it and make a poultice out of it that would help in some healing of some things. It seems to be along that line of stuff. But then man took those good things that in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with them, but then in the abuse of it and the misuse of it has sinned against God. He says, there's nothing. He says, I know by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Paper, is there anything wrong with paper? No. Is there anything wrong with ink? No. But men take paper and ink and make pornography out of it. Make wicked books out of it, right? There's nothing wrong with paper and there's nothing wrong with ink, but it's the misuse of those things that the Lord has given us. And so, it's not the wine that is inherently evil. It's not the drink that is inherently evil. Now, I believe that there's things and processes for fermentation, a natural process that takes place, and it's by God. But I tell you what, brewing and distillation, I wonder about. Because God has made man upright, and he sought out many wicked inventions. And so I take distillation, and then, of course, the whole distillation process can be used to make medicine. And that, I take that as a blessing from God. But to take the distillation process and use it for the sake of becoming drunk is misusing what the Lord has given. Okay, so he says, I know and am persuaded that by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And indeed it is. And he goes on to say, if a brother is grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Talking about meat that's been offered to idols, if I understand it right. You got to go and get your meat there. Is compromising your brother, and that he looks on at that meat that's been sacrificed to an idol. And, of course, the idol's not anything. Although, yet, it is the worship of devils. But it's meat. It's just meat. It's food. Okay? But if a brother has aware that to him, it is an artifact of pagan worship, go buy your meat somewhere else for the sake of your brother. Don't eat it in front of him just because you have the liberty to do so. Be charitable in thinking about him. That's the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, where we say, I can do this, and God is not offended or it's not sinful or displeased with it at all, but because my brother doesn't have that understanding, I'm just going to go ahead and do it in front of him because I have the liberty before God. The Lord says, no. No, be more charitable than that. Be more charitable than that. And that's a study for another time. Back in Ephesians 5, Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit. You know, I heard it when I was younger and saying that, you know, when we're saved, we get all the Spirit of God that we're going to get. But what's this say? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Do we get the Spirit of God living within unto salvation? We sure do. And nothing can take that away. But you know what I believe that that's talking about, being filled with the Spirit of God? It's availing ourselves more and more and more to the leadership of the Lord. Progressive sanctification. Not getting better, but just being more sensitive. Can you? Is it not so that as a child, as a baby, Joseph, he's just over a year old. Is he not more sensitive to things going on in the world than he was a year ago? Yeah, a year ago he was just laying there and saying, feed me, change me, and boy, aren't I cute. Right? But now he wants this and he wants that. He begs for it, right? He says, please. He claps his hands. He says, please. Right? Because he's more sensitive. And that, isn't it that way with us, is where the Lord saved us? And we avail ourselves to the Word of God and the leadership of the Spirit of God. We pray to the Father that He would make us more sensitive to His leadership. We pray to the Lord that He would help us to put sin out of our lives. In this, we're at the year's end, aren't we? Have you grown this year? This calendar year? Have you grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Has the Lord showed you more than you knew before? And helped you to take it and apply it to your life? Or are you at a status quo? And this is it. This is where I am. And this is just where I'm going to be. Oh, may God help us never to resign ourselves to such an opinion. We need to be more and more, be filled more with the Spirit of God. Do you pray that the Lord fill you with His Word and His Spirit? The Lord convicted me about that some time ago, that I want to be filled with the Spirit of God more. I don't want to be influenced by my old man, the Satan, the way of the world, and the wickedness of mankind. I want to be influenced by the Lord more and more and more. He said, don't be drunk with things that will take your thinking and your senses away from the Lord, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Desire it. Want it. Sometimes we're faced with a thing. May God help us. We would say, I just don't want to be that good. Ooh. Look out. We know that we're dealing with things like that when we say, Lord, You're right. I resign this to You, and I resign this to You, and I resign this to You, but this over here, I'm not. I'm not quitting this. This is mine. And you can take and put in there whatever you want. You know about you more than anybody. You and the Lord. I know about me more than anybody. Oh, but may the Lord help us so we not be filled with that kind of attitude, but be filled with the Spirit. And here's a manifestation of it. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Tell you what, it's an enjoyable time to be by yourself. Maybe you're working on something. Maybe you're reading the Word of God. And the Lord bring a song to mind and heart. And it's just you and the Lord there. And you're visiting with the Lord. You're worshiping the Lord. That when we sing about Him and we're reminded of Him and what He's done for us. And we sing to Him, whether out loud or in our hearts, just worshiping the Lord. Do you worship the Lord by yourself? Do you worship the Lord in your day-to-day life? That is, worship is acknowledging God in every way. We're worshiping the Lord now by taking His Word and me trying to take it and deliver it to His people and the receiving of it. And the conviction I trust that the Lord brings to us through it, and the blessing that it is in being reminded about things in the Word of God. We're worshiping the Lord now. We're saying, yes, Lord, it's true. It's true. It's great. It's wonderful. You've taught me something new that I hadn't seen before. You have reminded me of something that I forgot before. We worship the Lord in our song when we tell about the greatness that He has done. His salvation towards us. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the reason on Sunday morning I like us for us to sing those choruses. And to some it may seem very childish. I hope that isn't the case with you. But we need to be aware that we do teach our children as we go. We are the children of the Lord. And I just want to plague you with those little songs and those little choruses and little ditties. And so they'll be in your mind and you think about the Lord in that. It just as an example, besides the hymns that we sing during the services or other songs that you know. They're help. They help us, and we worship the Lord in it whenever we honor and acknowledge Him. The Scripture, the Old Testament, Proverbs, talks about honoring and acknowledging the Lord. To honor Him. He is our great God and King. To honor Him. And to acknowledge Him, Lord, You're working in everything. You're working in everything, every aspect of my life. You help me as a woman, a lady that has a household that You're taking care of. Father, thank You and continue to help and bless me as I care for my home, for the benefit of my family, for as I take care of my family and my home. That's worshiping and honoring God. Father, thank You. As a man that has a household and working the work that You do, thank You, Father, for the work that You give me and the ability for me to do that work to provide for my household and my family. We honor and acknowledge the Lord in that. Lord, thank You for the safety that You've given us to the services. Thank You for the safety that You've given us home. Thank You for Your people that want to come and meet together to worship You. We honor the Lord and acknowledge Him and all that. It goes on in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It's a clarification of being filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanking Him, right? And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. You can say that for you, right? And everything give thanks. He's so good to us and has blessed us, giving thanks for all things unto God. Yeah, the good things. And again, what we call good and what we call bad is always relative to this skin, isn't it? I mean, that's our reference point. But may the Lord help us to have His mind, that we understand that even the things that are unpleasant for this skin are the Lord working in us. Unless it's our sin that's brought it upon us, and then that may be the chastisement of the Lord. Amen? Because He does chasten those that He loves. Right? He does. And He works in us. Giving thanks for all things. Lord, thank You for that whipping. You got to grow up as a child of God to be able to see that point. Lord, thank You for the whipping. Better to get the whipping than to be out there on your own, amen? Wandering around, drifting around, back on the Broadway, with no correction, fatherless, or having the devil as your father. And of course, the Lord's the ultimate one that knows about that. Better to have a father that loves you and corrects you for sin, amen? Yes. Yeah, and so speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, You've done it for me and to me and on behalf of me because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. The Lord tells His disciples, pray. You've never asked anything before in My name. When you pray, pray to the Father that loves you, wants to give you the kingdom, and pray to Him in My name, in Jesus' name. That's the reason we end our prayers that way. That's the instruction. Because for Jesus' sake, Lord, will You hear? Lord, will You work? And we always resign it to His will. And here, verse 21, submitting yourselves, this is the church, members in the church, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, I've certainly got a debt to the Lord for saving my soul, don't I? We do. I praise Him for it I don't have to pay him back, you know, in that sense. I can't pay him back. But he doesn't require that I pay him back. He just requires that I believe him. Just as he saved me, so is service. Believe in him. Hearkening to him. Right, Aaron? Hearkening to him? Right. To hear him and believe him and trust him and follow him in what he says. As his child, I owe him a debt that I can't pay. And his call upon me, not only in salvation, but his call upon me and putting me in his church, I'm responsible to him in that too, right? With blessing comes responsibility. It's always the case. With blessing, with privilege comes responsibility. And you know what? As brothers and sisters in Christ that are members in this church also, I've got a debt, I've got a submission that I owe to you too. We're responsible one to another in this affair of what the Lord has done and brought us here together in his church. We owe it one to another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We owe it to the Lord and we owe it to one another to be faithful in this body that the Lord's called us into. That's the reason I'm to submit to you. Brother Jim, you're the pastor, yeah? But I'm also a member of this church. We're to submit one to another. And I understand that there is the position and the leadership position of a pastor and that comes by the directive of the Lord, not a prince, not a king, not a dictator, but a pastor to feed you, to remind you what the Word of God says, to take that place and that part. And you pray for me that the Lord will help me to do that in the coming year and do it well. But as a brother, as a member of this church, and brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to submit one to another. Now, you know what? In our day, in the country in which we live, that is foreign to us. In the day in which we live and the freedoms that we bless with in our country, it works against us in that respect and that we don't want to submit. Because our natural tendency is, who are you? This is what we naturally say, who are you to tell me what to do? Listen, it's not about me telling you what to do. It's not about you telling me what to do. It's about what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us all to do together. Okay? And so, may the Lord help us in that. Submission. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Ephesus, there in Asia Minor, in that where the goddess Diana was highly esteemed and the great temple was there and the big Colosseum that was there. If history tells us right and we understand it correctly, that Colosseum there at Ephesus could seat 25,000 people back there at the beginning, you know, two millennia ago. Can you imagine that? I mean, a place that seats 25,000 now is a wonder to see that built, and we do it and build it commonly. But I mean, it's something. Back in that day, they built a Colosseum, a theater that could seat 25,000, and they were their way and the way of mankind, their pagan worship. It led them to what? Independence. They were independent. We are independent naturally and in the operation of our country, the freedom that the Lord's blessed us with, but we need to submit one to another. It's going to go on in, and next time we'll start it up here with the Lord's help in it. We'll start here about this headship in the home. Headship. Just the issue of headship. The Lord has ordained an order and a way. It's a plan and a purpose and a way that the Lord has ordained for things to be so that they operate well and they operate smoothly and they operate with the Lord's blessing upon it. We need to understand it right. It's not about a big I and a little you, but it's a plan that God has made that will work. It says here lastly, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let me just read something to you here. I want to remind you here about the first church. Not too long after the Lord Jesus Christ had ascended has saved within a few years. And in Acts 9, verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee. There had been a scattering, Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified. They were built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. We need to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. There'll be a blessing there. And may the Lord help us as a church that we would seek that blessing. May the Lord help us in our individual lives that we would submit to the Lord and be obedient, dear children, unto Him. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we point you to Him. The message is simple. You're a sinner. You're guilty and condemned before God. We were talking at lunch. You don't have to wait to the end of your life to find out if you're condemned or not. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, you are present tense condemned. It's as good as done. You appear before the judge right now, your sentence is clear. To hell you go. That's the way that it is. That's the way that you're condemned now. You don't have to wait. Many people believe they got to wait. Maybe the good and the bad will weigh out. No, you're condemned now. And the only solution, the only way for that condemnation for your sin, that sure judgment of your sin to be lifted off, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. For Him to have paid the debt. For Him to apply His blood and wash those sins away. For Him to have suffered your hell and your separation from God, your eternal darkness, for Him to having done so for you. We pray for you. And pray that you might see Christ precious to the salvation of your soul.